This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Not that running back is a big need, because I do think with Cook, Davis, and Ty Johnson, like, that's perfectly fine. They accomplished everything they needed to last year. But to see them have pick 30, pick 56, and pick 62, I mean, there's some really good running backs that are going to be going off the board inside the top three rounds. So I do wonder if, you know, we see them maybe go after one of the Ohio State cats or something like that at the end of round two, maybe spelling the end of James Cook's tenure after this season.
Ian Harditz earlier this week on Schopen Bulldog. I love Bulldog there with a nice little ooh.
Oh, that was Mike who did that.
Oh, was that?
Yeah, that was Mike.
I thought that was Bulldog.
He's big on the Ohio State guys.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, though, to think about running back possibly even in round two. And I know that not a lot of fans would love that pick, for example, but the Bills do have a history of picking a running back in round two or round three with this tenure. So, they love throwing a mid-round pick into there, or early to mid-round pick into there. You think of Singletary, you think of Zach Moss, obviously James Cook, and then Ray Davis with a fourth. They love adding to the running back stable pretty consistently with Brandon Bean's tenure. So brace for that potential that the Bills might take a running back maybe even earlier than you would expect them to.
Mm-hmm.
I expect that there will be at least some kind of wheeling and dealing going on either in the first or the second round when it comes to movement and getting a pick swap in so that they can get a third round pick back in there, because they love having that maneuverability with a third round selection, and they don't have it again. Last year, they find a way to do that. They shuffle down a couple times with a couple of trades to get out of the first round and end up at pick 33. What do they get in return? A pick swap that throws them back into the third round. So we'll see what they do and see how creative Brandon Bean gets with this draft as well.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Brandon Bean also has a history of doing a solid job, so I don't think it's I'm not like uber worried about anything happening, you know?
It's just that I want more than solid this time around because of the fact that there hasn't been a star player drafted to this team in a little while, and I think he's due. Let's go. Like, come on, man. Let's give me another guy that becomes a fixture on this team, not just a solid player, but a fixture. I need that top 10 in the position guy, like a Terrell Bernard, but Christian Benford is arguing to be a top 10 corner at this point. But I need more of that. I need a little bit more. Give me one more of those kinds of players. And whether that's another safety that you can hitch a wagon to for being one of those guys, or give me someone on that defensive line that can really be a shining star for years at a time. I need something like that. Give me another taste of not just hitting, but killing a pick. Mm-hmm. That's my goal here with this draft. They have 10 picks. I obviously do not think that they're going to use all of them. There's not much in the probability of using all 10 of those picks, mostly because they're a good team. 10 players aren't fitting on this roster. The numbers game is enough for you that if they make more than 8 selections, I'm going to be genuinely surprised. Because one, that means that there were not a lot of trades that they made, or two, they got enough picks back in return to it, but I'm still surprised that they would have taken more than 8 players. I think 7 is a perfect over-under, I think, for this. 7 or 7.5 for how many selections they actually make. Because I feel like 8's probably a great threshold. And you would expect that maybe they trade enough that like 7 ends up the amount that they pick. What would you say to that? Over-under 7.5 picks that they make out of the 10.
I would agree. I would say I was leaning towards maybe 6, but I'm kind of at 7 right now. So I'd still say under, but 7 or 8 sounds about right.
Yeah, I feel like that's a solid line for it. And I'm not a gambling person, so like me trying to create odds is like the silliest thing that I will ever do. But I'm going to try. I'll try to think of like what's the good threshold that like people will then start thinking, interesting. Maybe that's the perfect amount of players that I would settle for here is like 7 or 8. In your draft class. 7 obviously being that number, but sometimes when you have that many picks, you might want to use them. So maybe right. It is, maybe 6.5 is the actual line to use, but again, I don't create odds, and that's why. All right. Purdue and McNeese, it's about to start.
Let's go.
Your
inner Boilermaker is going to show.
My inner Boilermaker is going to show, and my stomach is going to start boiling. Because McNeese comes in with Swag, the team manager that they have that has the NIL deal. Amir Khan, a nice story that they had on him leading into the game.
Did you see the cheerleaders had him on their socks?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But like that's Swag, and I don't know how well you do against Swag. It's an immeasurable trait. And McNeese played pretty well with it. Considering they got their first tournament win in their school's history just a couple days ago. And
yeah, and that was their fourth trip in school history, so they're 1-3 now.
Yep.
So they improve. That was a big game. That was a good one. I did enjoy that.
That was a good one because, I mean, mostly because Clemson made it interesting. It was a it was a farce at first. Because Clemson scores 13 points in the first half. If Purdue does that here today, I'm going to just like cry.
That would not be good.
Probably on air.
Probably cry on air.
Probably on air. Purdue coach Matt Painter has a 7-4 record in the round of 32. So do more of the first part. Don't add to the second stat there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at the TV, like getting ready for tip-off. One player on McNeese, he's got – so their colors, I do believe it's blue and gold. One guy has a yellow shoe and a blue shoe, and I'm like, that's drip.
It is drip. Dripping with drip.
Yeah, they have swag. I don't know what to do. I'm very concerned.
Who are you rooting for?
I mean, I'm rooting for Purdue, and they get a nice bucket to start it. Yes, let's go. We're back, baby. We're so back. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about Purdue basketball. We don't live in Indiana. I'm good. But it's nice though to get the game started here for the round of 32 underway in the second round. Joe, when it comes down to the Bills though, with how this draft is going to look and how aggressive you would like them to be in this sense, that's really what I think it comes down to is how aggressive can you get? Because, again, you have a good team. You have a good roster. You do have a lot of holes that you have to fill. And with that, though, there is the challenge of how aggressive can you be? And you need to fill this roster with quality players. That's the big thing.
Yeah. And that's, I don't want to see any wasted picks. And I'm not saying you would know right away, right?
Yes.
Because you don't, you never know.
You never know right
away. Look at the Kyrie Elam situation, right? You never know how things are going to turn out. But don't just, if there is a need on defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say maybe a running back, depending on the James Cook situation, whatever you want to read into that with. And a late, would you take a wide receiver late? Maybe.
Absolutely.
Right?
You find a flyer on a fifth or a sixth round pick for a wide receiver. Absolutely.
100%.
I don't think that you go away from this draft class without getting at least one wide receiver.
No, but you need to focus. And I would have been very frustrated last year if they went all defense. And I said that. I was very outspoken because that seems to be a lot of what they like to do, right? The defensive players are the ones that stick.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Minus Dion and stuff. You know, there are certain outliers, but defensive depth as well. I would like to see them fix their defense up with young, talented players and really set this defense up for success, because the whole thing that really frustrates me at the end of the day, and this isn't even with the front office, it's with the, oh, we're back on the, and this is not Jeremy Joe, these are just the fans, right?
Yeah.
We want a wide receiver, the callers this week. Trade up for a wide receiver. We need to replace Mitch Trubisky. Draft another quarterback at some point. No, no, no. Wide receiver is not a first-round need as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think it's a first-round need unless my mock draft simulator happens and Luther Burden shows up at 30. Then just run the card to the podium. Just do it.
Yeah.
But obviously the board will fall as it may. But I do think that, for me, it's not even about the first round. I think it's, if you don't come away with two-thirds of your draft class being on defense, I'm going to be a little confused.
Confused and frustrated. I will be struggling to grasp the
context.
Context matters.
Sometimes the board falls in a certain way. That's what I think. Like, I'm not going to go
ahead and
say,
but if they just deviate from the game plan, I'm out. Like, that really is just confusing to me.
Well, it's too soon to get mad. That's the other thing.
Context
matters.
Wouldn't you be? Like, I'm saying,
that's why
context does matter. Yes,
that's why I haven't said it, because I know context matters, and I'm going to be sitting here for every single minute of the draft. And I mean, when I say here, I mean literally in the chair that my butt is warming up right now. That is exactly what's going to happen here.
Yep. Yep. I don't know. I just, the whole thing of, you know, you're blind, and then they'll blame these fans and everything. They'll blame the defense for being the issue, for not being able to get over the hump, but then you don't want to help it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Oh, the defense let down Josh Allen. I heard that so much in the MVP argument. Why wouldn't you want to help the defense then? Why
exactly?
Like, that's where my confusion lies, because I've had conversations, not even on the air, off the air, just with people I know.
But
they're like, if they draft all defense, blah blah blah. I'm like, the defense is what needs the most help.
The defense does need the most help, But this is where, again, context matters, because you do have to remember, Josh Allen had the football at the two-minute warning each of the last two games.
Right, and I'm not discounting that. All I'm saying is...
So that context does matter. Like, yes, it's tough, though, that like you've had these issues, especially defensively in the postseason, where like they are the group that tends to wear down the quickest.
Mm-hmm. Like they get out
but
of...
But there is context.
Exhausted.
Your MVP quarterback did have the football at the two-minute mark.
Right, and I'm not just saying last season when I say that, though.
Yeah. And last like season, I think that the... I mean, not like this past season, but two seasons ago. Oh, my God. I saw something happen that I've always wanted to see happen.
What? A reverse dunk?
No. An air ball that shot past the rim. I've always wanted to see that. Anyway. When it comes down to it, though, like two playoffs ago, the defense did their job. And it was the offense that only scored 20. So at some point, that is, you know, offense didn't do its job. Offense was not good enough. And that said, what just happened? Well, what just happened was your defense let the Kansas City Chiefs score 30 points for the first time all year. That's not good enough. And you need more long-term talent there anyway. So that you have those players there on rookie deals and you're able to go ahead and use the cap to the best of your scenarios and the best of your situation. That's the most important part to me, is making sure that you have a defense that can go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because heaven forbid that something were to happen, and I'm already knocking on wood, if something were to happen on offense where there's a major injury of sorts, I'm not going to name names.
No, but we all know.
We all know why I'm knocking on wood.
Yes.
But if something were to happen, a better defense allows you to survive, to grit mm-hmm. out a couple of wins and maybe even steal them.
And where has the injury bug bitten the hardest the past few years?
It has been on defense.
You had A.J. Klein coming out to play the Chiefs in the playoffs a couple years ago.
Though last year, I think it was the wide receivers that hit the hardest.
Well, yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, statistically in the playoffs,
typically
it's been defense.
It has been, yes.
Because Matt Milano's out. Like, you lost everybody, pretty much. And then yeah. You have Von Miller, who's basically a shadow of himself. And it's like, you can't do anything. And yes, I will agree, the wide receivers, with Cooper's injury he was playing through and Coleman was injured, right?
Yep.
And last season, it was
Shakir
a mix of both.
Shakir got banged up, and the wide receiver core clearly missed him.
Yeah, so I do think last year was the wide receivers, but for the sample pool, if we're looking at the entire data pool when we're looking at this, the McDermott, Brandon Bean, Josh Allen era of the playoff runs and the heartbreaking ends to seasons, it's been defense more times than not.
Exactly.
Injury-wise, like exactly. Not being able to hold up to par to these offenses. And then it is a shootout because your offense can still hold up with their defense. With Josh Allen, he just keeps firing down the field. It becomes a shootout. And then here we go. The defenses are both exhausted, and it's just whoever scores last. You know, like that's what it is.
And that's why there's a fair argument for wide receiver being a priority again this year. Because you look at that wide receiver core and you think the names on paper, it's not good enough. So that's why I say I won't get mad. I might be confused, but I might not be mad if they were to target one early, because that is something that happens. Context matters. You need to make sure that that is the case. If you don't have your context, if the board falls a specific way, if, for example, they know they can get a defensive tackle later on in this draft because of how deep that class is this year, I'm okay with it. Context does matter at the end of the day. So nothing is ever going to be exact, and that's how we should always treat it.
I'm with you. I do. As much as I said I would get frustrated, I think I would. But like you said, context matters. If they just blew past the game plan, I'd be frustrated. But if they work with what they have and that's the way the board falls and that's how it ends up, okay, I'll deal with that, you know?
I think I might have to drag you in for every single hour of draft coverage this year.
I'd love to be there.
Just so that you learn it.
Yeah. Learn it. I mean, I was there.
Learn it, but know the misery of being here for every single hour.
Yeah. That'll be some pretty entertaining Sports Talk Saturdays after that.
Yeah. But hey, that's
we
all
did it for the NHL draft only to see Beck Malenstein be the big move. So
yeah. Yeah. And on that, we're going to take a quick break here, early break, and then get ourselves a little bit of a smaller segment coming up next, and then Brian Colzio will help wrap the show up with us here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, you're here on WGR.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.